This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, May 16th, 2019. It's just astonishing, really. How do constructs like the CIA persist when it should call to mind immediately and without exception, infamy? The mob has been legitimized. Here are a few things. I'll mention a few. I'm not going to go down a long list. Deadly Deceits by Ralph McGahey, obviously. Deadly Deceits, My 25 Years in the CIA. Published back in 83. Remember Ralph McGahey? Probably arguably my favorite quote. 25-year CIA veteran, career intelligence medal recipient. The CIA is not now, nor has it ever been, Central Intelligence Agency. It is the covert action arm of the president's foreign policy advisors. And to understand that, you need to go back about 70 years or so and understand the network of power that really sort of brought this institution to life, and the network, around the world, for that matter. Because again, what's her name? Jeanette Conant reminds us in her book, The Irregulars, Roald Dahl and the British Spy Ring in Wartime Washington, of British intrigue and influence behind the scenes that created the modern incarnation of the the intelligence industrial complex. And there are counterparts everywhere. It's just one big club. There are no sides. So anyway, Deadly Deceits, Joseph Wilson's The Politics of Truth, Inside the Lies That Led to War and Betrayed My Wife's CIA Identity, The Diplomat's Memoir. That's an interesting read, too. Probably not one that, most people would mention on a list like this. But, it's in simple terms, Joe Wilson was sent on the errand to find the yellow cake that was supposed to legitimize an illegitimate invasion into Iraq, obviously, and beyond. And Joe Wilson went on his diplomatic errand and said, I don't find anything. I don't see anything. And basically Donald Rumsfeld was, telling him, like he was telling the American public, look, you're not getting it. Weapons of mass destruction. We created the Office of Special Plans so that we could gather all of the raw intelligence and stovepipe it. And since that time, because it's difficult to gather all that raw intelligence, we just need to wire all these agencies together. And that became the OSINT initiative and others to hardwire all of the agencies together. Because then it's easier to stovepipe intel when you can just tap into all of them at once instead of, having to piecemeal things. It's much easier to stovepipe. So anyway, Rummy's telling everybody, weapons of mass destruction. You're not getting it. Joe Wilson, same thing. Look, there are weapons of mass destruction. Absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. Find the yellow cake. So, Joe Wilson failed to accomplish the errand on which he was sent to find what couldn't be found, the yellow cake. And as a result, obviously, Valerie Plame was exposed and Joe Wilson wrote a book. So that's an interesting read. This is what happens. You get suborned, conscripted, and when you can't follow, you know, the agenda, when you go off script, you get burned. Or someone, you know, that you care about who's in a compromising position gets burned. So to me, it's a sort of archetypal example of how that stuff works. You know, that, you know, dirty politics of, you know, affairs of state and foreign policy and so forth. Alfred McCoy is an interesting character. His book, The Politics of Heroin in Southeast Asia, is interesting. You go to the Wikipedia entry for that, and it even says he stated that, and that was published back in 72, he stated that the Central Intelligence Agency was knowingly involved in the production of heroin in the Golden Triangle of Burma, Thailand, and Laos. The Politics of Heroin, The Politics of Truth. I mentioned the irregulars, John Stockwell. Obviously, he's written a thing or two, The Praetorian Guard, In Search of Enemies, for example. Someone, you know, many consider him a modified limited hangout, but there's still some interesting information that he brought to light. The Top Secret America series doesn't really dive into the CIA that much, but it's also an interesting read, I think, to bridge the gap. Because the CIA is thought of as, you know, those things happen over there. Oh, the CIA is involved in drug trafficking overseas. Oh, my goodness, that's shocking. Golden Triangle. But at least, you know, it can happen here. But Top Secret America, that series seems to prove otherwise, unequivocally. There are lots of interesting... Michael Schur is another interesting author. Elvin Goodman. Joel Bannerman. John Rappaport has written some interesting stuff. Who else am I thinking of? Tom Ahern, speaking of Tom Ahern and William Bloom, obviously, Philip Marshall, the Big Bamboozle, most notably. Oh, speaking of Doug Valentine, Expendable Elite also. Anyway, there are many. How about The Crimes of Patriots? That's a good one. Company. John Ehrlichman. You know, again, William Bloom. Pretty much anything William Bloom wrote. And, you know, many others, Jonathan Quitney, Gary Webb, as I said before, and the list goes on and on. Anyway, you know, for the unwashed or uninitiated, folks like Ben Allen, maybe, at Texas A&M, civil engineering student at Texas A&M, maybe grab a copy of something, any, you know, one of those books that I mentioned or anything from those authors that I mentioned, and just, you know, start reading with Mike Pompeo's remarks, former CIA director, Secretary of State, as a backdrop. How do you balance condemnations with concessions? I mean, it's pretty simple. I think you read George Washington's farewell address and you get a pretty unvarnished account. You don't get all of this deception and intrigue and doublespeak. You know, Machiavellian doublespeak. What is he saying? How do you balance condemnations with concessions and diplomacy with a controversial government such as Saudi Arabia? Thank you. Well, you know, I always begin with a deep understanding that no Secretary of State gets through their first day without recognizing it's a tough world out there. What does that mean? We don't appreciate how glorious it is to be here in the United States of America. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. Yeah, but what about the fact that you're creating, you are part, speaking of lies, speaking of dirty tricks, you're part of the, I mean, you're instrumental in the fomenting of the conflict and those, you know, creating the tough world. How is the CIA making the world a better place? That's a simple question. How are covert regime change actions making the world a better place? I was thinking about it yesterday. There are small places in America with small airports. And if it can happen in MENA, why can't it happen somewhere else? And whatever they learned from MENA, no, that's the thing. One of the things, you got to give them that. Like cockroaches, you know, the folks who are really sort of instrumental in the machinations there, the dirty stuff, the director of operations kind of stuff, they definitely learn and apply what they've learned. We need to find more cover of darkness, go burrow deeper in like a tick and, you know, make sure that we have more layers of deception and plausible deniability. And where does it end? I mean, where do you finally draw the line and say, look, there's no justification or legitimacy for the pursuit of evil for good's sake, for goodness sake? It doesn't work. All you get is more evil. You know, I'm going to tell one more lie so that I can finally tell the truth. Suddenly you're telling 1,000 lies. And where is the truth? Anyway, I don't want to belabor it. And, you know, this comes back. People say, you know, I mean, people close to me, you start talking like this and just these rambling thoughts, or so it seems to most people, and they say, well, but what does that have to do with anything? Well, I mentioned Alabama. I want to come back to that. The NBC news article from yesterday, the coverage of it. Alabama State Senate passes near total abortion ban and direct challenge to Roe v. Wade. And you hear a lot of stuff, you know, I suppose we'll play the clip in a second or, you know, shortly. But, you know, you hear people, woman's right. I'm sorry. You know, no offense. Honestly, this has nothing to do with, condemning women or whatever. But it's foolish. It's absolutely foolish, you know, for people to talk about a woman's right to choose or her health or her own body with to the exclusion of the child's right to life. What about the child's right to life? Who is defending this innocent unborn child? And, you know, you hear the coverage. It's all just ludicrous, absurd, embarrassing, as far as I'm concerned. There is no rape or incest exception in this bill. You know, the, what is it? The, not the clause, I forget. Anyway, rape, there was a, you know, exception for rape and incest that was so forgive me for being crude and crass, but shouldn't rape and incest be redundant? That's what I think every time I hear that. It's all so ludicrous. It's all just embarrassing. You know, speaking of Mike Pompeo's version, his brand of American exceptionalism, embarrassing. We don't appreciate how glorious it is to be here in the United States of America. It's a cesspool from my vantage point that is rotting from the inside out. An advanced carcinoma, you know, that sounds, it has Mike Pompeo's voice, for example. And laughing, you know. Well-heeled, Ivy League, silver-tongued, smell great, rotting the heart and soul of America. What's fantastic about that? No? Retreating to your Brazilianized enclave on these shores while you infect the world? How was Saudi Arabia created? Ben Allen needs to go find out what exactly brought about the creation of Saudi Arabia and go back about 200 years, 150 years at least. Go back to the 1740s, investigate the unholy alliance between the Saud family, the House of Saud, and Ibn Abd al-Wahhab, the father of Wahhabism, so to speak, how that's been used as a social virus through British intrigue primarily ever since then. Before the American Revolution. And how it is used as a political tool, a weapon to foment these conflicts. You know, I just think of these things. Jay Gould, you know, I can pay one half of the working class to kill the other. And people, naive people, the CIA is masterful at identifying those kinds of folks. That's what Operation Cyclone was all about, identifying crazy, unbalanced, you know, ideological, you know, ideologue types who are excited anyway, upset anyway, get them more stirred up, more excited, and have them rush out and do bad things. So then we can use that as a surreptitious justification to do more bad things. Where is the honesty in that? Where is the accountability for that? I want to play this clip before we go out. Back to Alabama. I just need to let that stuff go because it's very upsetting to me. So here's the clip on Alabama from NBC News. Go ahead, please.
After weeks of divisive debate,
this going to be unconstitutional.
So life is the question.
Overnight, senators in Alabama state legislature voted 25-6 to make abortion at any stage of pregnancy a felony.
House Bill 314 passes.
The crime punishable with up to 99 years in prison for the abortion providers. The only exception is when a pregnancy represents a serious health risk to the mother. Last night, an amendment was dropped that would have made exemptions for cases of rape and incest. The bill's sponsor admits her goal was not to stop all abortions, but to force the Supreme Court to reconsider Roe v. Wade's defining question.
Is the baby in a womb a person? And we believe technology and science shows that it is.
No justice!
No peace!
Protesters gathered outside the State House. Among their complaints, this law will directly impact women. Yet 85% of lawmakers in Alabama are men.
Roe v. Wade is overturned. You will go back to the days where women are having abortions in back alleys.
The 1973 decision ruled women have the fundamental right to choose whether or not to have an abortion. But even early in his candidacy, President Trump said he wanted Roe v. Wade overturned.
That'll happen automatically, in my opinion, because I am putting pro-life justices on the court.
He's already appointed two conservative justices that some believe tips the balance of power on the high court. Alabama is not the only state pushing for a federal legal challenge to Roe. 29 states have introduced abortion restrictions so far this year. Just last week, the governor of Georgia signed the state's so-called fetal heartbeat bill, becoming one of four states outlawing abortion at the first sign of a heartbeat.
I just think it's astonishing. You know, first of all, again, hats off to the courageous folks in Alabama responsible for banning the murder of innocent unborn children. That's what it is. You know, I come from the perspective that God tells us in his word that he knew us all and numbered the hairs. He didn't just know us. He numbered the hairs on our heads, each one of us, before the foundation of the world. What, you know, what is the argument? Life begins at conception. No, it doesn't. It began before the foundation of the world. If you're going to go that route, if you're going to have that discussion and try to make that argument, make it properly, correctly, and accurately. And the that would be that God says, you know, life does not begin at conception. It began before the foundation of the world. And he numbered the hairs on each of our heads, which connotes a sort of intimate knowledge, foreknowledge in this context, not for him, but for us, of the person, numbered all our days. Before there was one, all of my days were numbered. In other words, there's a care and consideration there. Who's ever counted the hairs on anyone's head, let alone numbered them? This one's number one. This one's number two. This one's number three. And for those who have been fortunate enough to be parents, I think you understand the context of the loving care it would be taken to do that. And to think, you know, that kind of loving care is just casually and flagrantly thrown aside. Well, you don't care about a woman's, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with our protection of the innocent and the unborn, those who cannot speak for themselves. What are we known for in America? You know, it's just the casual, arrogant, and flagrant sort of ignorance that's flaunted these days. It's just astonishing. You know, Nazis calling fascists Nazis, fascists calling Nazis fascists. It's insane what's happening in America. You know, and that's all controlled opposition anyway. People drawn into specious conflict in color revolutionary fashion don't even know what they're doing. It's tragic and heartbreaking to watch. So, you know, speaking of the Alabama stuff and what's going on there, I just, and how, you know, there was a time when someone like Samantha Bee, you know, her remarks in the wake of what happened, the Daily Beast published an article. I can't even mention the title of it on air. That's how offensive and gratuitously awful and offensive it is. Can't mention it. And, you know, I dare say there was a time when she would be blacklisted from the media, from the public eye, and rightfully so. What do you get when you have someone like this spewing the kind of garbage and filth that she does? You know, we're all, none of us are perfect, but she goes out of her way to be awful and filthy, like so many people. I mentioned a few before, not trying to single anyone out, but this is just sort of, this is emblematic of what we are being subjected and subjugated to, you know? Benjamin Franklin, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. It's an interesting little piece, you know, we can get to in a bit, but, you know, where is the line? Where do we stop and say, I mean, we've been seeing it for years, especially in the post 9/11 American era. Just this, what I call everything is okay all the time kind of mentality. And I remember 10, 15 years ago starting to say these things. And it's interesting as you transition, you know, you read Romans chapter 1, for example, from about verse 18 on, and you see how things start to go horribly wrong. At this point, anyone paying attention, anyone who's honest, can reflect over the last 10 or 15, 20 years and say, okay, this isn't going well. You know, when Mario Savio stands up and says, after 50 years, wow, we were more free then than you guys are now, and we were, you know, more respectful, more well-behaved, more well-mannered, more intelligent, articulate, thoughtful, less propagandized, less manipulated, less socially engineered, cybernetically altered. And, you know, projected like a missile. It's difficult to take any honest account and come away with any other perspective than this is not working well. Maybe we should try something different. If it ain't working, you know, insanity. Doing the same thing, expecting different results. Someone, somewhere, seems to think this course that is the path of destruction for us all is a good idea. Benjamin Franklin said, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. And you can see the momentum of it. Folks who step back and sort of see what's going on, you can see the momentum of it. You can look now and see that this is not going well. What is the benefit of having someone like Samantha Bee saying what she says? Or I mean, it's just who benefits from that? From that kind of filthy, vicious, crude, you know, mindless banter. You know, it's worse than mindless. Seems to be specifically designed. I had a friend who had an interesting, extensive sales background, and he used to use the terminology feed their mouth. Salespeople, as a sales manager, you want to feed their mouth. Give them talking points. Give them things to say. You know, that appeal to people, and that's what someone like Samantha Bee does. It's worse than mindless. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Welcome back. I want to get to some supporting documentation here in a minute. Actually, I want to get back to the money stuff also and just sort of conclude that, because I mentioned the, you know, we touched on the article, The Amazing Purchasing Power of Silver. Now, this is just another one of those issues that, I mean, it should just be, you start talking about these things instead of being in a social setting and saying, you know, people are talking and you say, well, yeah, but, you know, the Federal Reserve admits it's, I mean, it tells us in very unequivocal terms, it is not a part of the federal government. You shouldn't, that should not be a statement that is met with shock and, you know, saucer-sized eyes. You know, what? No. Should be common knowledge. Well, yeah, of course. I mean, everybody knows that. And then the implications should be known, well-established. Everybody knows that. And then it should go away. CIA should go away. FBI should go away. NSA, NRO, you know. We used to call it the War Department. And then in 1947, as a result of the National Security Act, we got the NME, the National Military Establishment, the enemy. To me, that sounds like truth in advertising. That's an acronym that is truth in advertising, as far as I'm concerned. But now it's the Department of Defense. Exactly what is it defending? Seems to me that it offends everywhere, but defends nothing. I digress. Before we go to the money and the other supporting stuff, let's go to the phones. Renee in North Carolina, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, like I said, the thing is, with Samantha Bee has, you know, yes, she is potty mouth. But you know what?
She's a potty brain. She's not just a potty mouth. She's an agitprop.
Trump?
I'm not singling anyone out per se. That was the whole point of what I was saying. It's not a matter of her versus him or him versus her. It's the epidemic in America, and that's why I'm asking today. What are we known for in America?
Right. Okay. Well, this is the deal. Both Protestants and Catholics have to come to an understanding that they have both been played. For one, see, I think actually the Roman Catholic Church killed off the best Christians a long time ago, okay? Murdered them. If you look into the Albigensian Crusades and the Waldensians and stuff like that, yeah, the Roman Catholic Church murdered him a long time ago. And I really don't want anything to do, so if anybody starts thinking I'm on a side with the Protestants and Catholics, think again, because I have witnessed and been the victim of evil from both groups, okay? So
I wonder if we could confine the discussion, though, to America, because again, the sort of the backdrop of all of the conversation, you know, Samantha Bee, what's going on in Alabama, and the other 28 states, and everything else that I mentioned along those lines.
Okay,
what are we known for here in America?
Well,
and we have our own crusades to deal with, don't we?
Right. Well,
if you want to talk crusades,
okay, really, and so. The thing is, I've known about this for a long time, but I heard Noam Chomsky mention it recently, okay? And his exact words that he used was, turned on a dime. See, the thing is, the Protestant, you know how they're always number crunching in order to hold on to power? See, the
technocrats do that.
Okay, yeah, they all do that. Okay, so the Protestants realized they were getting short on numbers.
Technocrats are uniquely dispositioned to doing that, though. They like they sort of worship at the altar of scientism.
Okay, so this is the deal.
They're uniquely predisposed.
So this is the deal. What happened was, okay, the Protestants were number crunching. They were coming up short. They couldn't care less about abortion. Billy Graham was pro-choice, okay? But they needed votes to hold on to power. And y'all can go look into all this, okay? Remember, the Protestants in this country hated Catholics, okay? Unless they could use them. So the thing is, what they did was they knew that was important to Catholics. And in order to pull them over from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party, they adopted this whole thing, not because they cared about children, but because they cared about preserving power, okay? That's what it was about. This is all part of history. Like I said, Noam Chomsky said they turned on a dime. I heard him use that word recently, but I knew about this before I heard Chomsky, okay? And so the thing he said, Billy Graham was pro-choice. This was all about politics, not about caring about children. It was caring about power. It's kind of what I call those caca M&Ms, okay? You know, they put a candy-coated shell, like children, on the outside to hide the fact that there's poop, power poop, in the middle, okay? So the thing is, that whole thing was not about caring about unborn children. And the proof that they don't care is that we have over 100,000 children available for adoption today. You know, we almost ought to do a call-in where people who supposedly say they care about children say, well, you can put me down for two. Another one call in, well, yeah, I can take three. You know, the thing is, we haven't taken care of the children who need to be adopted now. And all they want to do is kill social programs. They don't want to donate 5 cents for a bowl of gruel for these kids. The thing is, these people, and the only ones that declare to be persons are in a womb. The thousands in a lab, oh, no, those are not persons. Just the ones in the womb.
I'm not following
this has to do with power and control.
I don't understand what you mean by that. The thousands in a lab?
Yeah, those fertilized eggs that they have frozen.
Well, that's a whole different discussion, and I don't agree with that either. I don't, you know, we've had the discussion of the creep from transhumanism to posthumanism. None of that is morally, to me, it's all reprehensible. And, you know,
But the thing is, another thing is, you see, actually, in the Old Testament, you know, the Protestants love so much, you know, where that murderous God was, that he murdered more than anybody. I mean, just wipe out everything, okay?
What was the purpose of those?
Born. And these same 25 men, are they coming
events,
out against
though?
The children being murdered in war?
What was the purpose of those Old Testament events, and why were those edicts not continued through to the New Testament? If we're gonna talk about those things, we should talk honestly and comprehensively about that.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. The thing is,
okay. Well, then let's stop right now and talk about why those things happened and why that edict does not persist through to the New Testament. Why do you suppose that is?
Because it was wrong.
Well, why was it right in the Old Testament then?
Well, you got me. But the thing is, there was even, I think it was in Numbers, if a man suspected his wife had slept with another man, they actually give the recipe for the stuff he's supposed to feed her to make her abort if it's the child of another man. That's in the Bible too, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the thing is, we can't just pick the parts that advocate our position.
But isn't that exactly what you're doing right now? Isn't that what you're doing right now? You're picking the parts that advocate your position without us digging into the details, and we're not having a conversation. It's not productive. I mean, that's what you just did. You picked the parts that suit your position.
Because I'm hearing so much on the TV of only one side.
This isn't TV. This is a place where we come together and hopefully we have an honest and intelligent discussion, and, you know, we come away with a better understanding of issues because we've shared our vantage points. We've informed one another's discretion. Hopefully that's what we're doing here.
Well,
and
see,
we're not,
that's just the thing. What you're talking about happens
on television.
Jesus never spoke about homosexuality and abortion. But he spoke about hypocrisy a whole lot. And when these people do not care about the quality of life that these children have after they're born, they're not offering to adopt them. Oh, somebody else wants them. Well, how come there's 100,000 of them available today? And I don't see all these people trotting out to take them home. You see? What are we gonna, like I say, if they're successful and they don't want to take them home, they don't want any social services. It's always somebody else is going to do it. Well, obviously, with 100,000 available today, somebody else is not doing it, particularly them. You see? So the thing is, Jesus was, he didn't say anything, actually, about homosexuality and abortion, but he said a hell of a lot about hypocrisy. That's what he just drilled over and over and over again. And these people, where they talk the talk, but they're not walking the walk about carrying these children if you look at their actions instead of their holier-than-thou words. Those children are going to have basic human needs that they need met. Food, shelter, love, you know, and the way that the
so what is the point, though? I don't understand exactly what the takeaway here is. So you have children who have been born and are in need, and that's a complicated situation anyway. You know, the adoption process is very convoluted and not easy. And, I mean, I don't know. I can't speak to who among legislators is adopting folks, who is interested in adopting children. I do know that, what's his name? What's his name? Can't think of his name. That's terrible. He has, what is he? He's adopted.
You know, that this was about
five children, I think.
If you look at the history of when they turned, this was about politics. They're using those children. They don't really care about them. Their action, their words say one thing, but their actions, when they're always stripping programs where children can't have school lunches or any kind of food, or insurance or anything else, they're all talk and no walk, okay? Because how do we address the practical issues of taking care of these children instead of letting them be born? What are we going to do? Line them up on the sidewalk with little pink and blue tin cups that they can rattle, hoping they get a nickel?
How about we get out in front of the issue and start going back? How about we start getting out in front of the issue and go back to a time when this kind of lascivious and licentious behavior was considered morally, ethically unacceptable? And then we
now
don't.
What are you talking about? Out of wedlock sex?
Basically, among other things. And that starts to move in a direction where basically you value these things differently. Maybe we go stop pretending like treating relationships like buying a used car, where you have platforms where people can meet each other and, you can swipe left or swipe right. And that's that has nothing to do with anything long term. And so we value those relationships differently. Instead of like a used car or a casual fling or something like that, we esteem it properly, value it properly. And then, we start to move in that direction.
I agree. Listen, I'm old now, but I was a young hottie at one time, okay? And, it's hilarious, the list of lies I was told, okay? Boys trying to get in my pants, okay? It's like, I'm really sterile. You don't worry, you won't get pregnant. I had the mumps, I'm sterile. Then, like I said, a few years later, you see them walking down the street with their children, okay? But it's so often it's all put on us women. Oh, you need to keep your legs closed. All the responsibility is put on us. It's such a double standard. It's like if she
not on
has
this broadcast,
sex,
it's not.
She's slut shamed. But if he does,
not on this broadcast.
His oats. Huh?
Not on this broadcast. None of that has happened on this broadcast that I'm aware
of.
But
in the culture in general, that's how it's treated. Oh, yeah. In fact,
I understand what you're saying, but I think, again, that there is, that there's an effort to play people groups off against one another, and there are more dynamics than just that. I mean, I'm not going to say that doesn't happen. Obviously, there is an element of that, but
there's a huge element of that. If something happens to us often, we were asking for it. And look how many times these judges, even if it's there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, the boy raped a girl, but see, he identifies with the boy, well, he didn't want to ruin his life. And they give him a little slap on the hand. This has happened repeatedly.
That's not how 320 million people think or feel, though. That's, you know, that's in my opinion, that's another one of those talking points that's been fed to people, and it's more of an outlier. I think if you survey the broad cross-section of Americans, that's kind of an outlier opinion. I can't think of conversations that I have with folks where anybody feels that way. Is that really a thing in some part of the country where a broad cross-section of folks are that narrow-minded? I don't think so. I hope
not. Did you grow up in the South? Because I did.
Yeah. Well, I respect your life experience. I definitely do. I mean, I can't, you know.
I'm just trying to show, because actually I want people to come together. But if each person is grabbing the parts of the Bible that support their belief, and the other people go to the other, we have to be honest about this. The thing is, how are we ever going to come to actually a reasonably good solution instead?
Virtue, morality, and religion is in there if we take the book in its entirety. This. Yeah, I appreciate your remarks, Renee, and that last part I think is definitely valid. We can agree on that. We got to go back to the phones. We got calls stacking up, and we're losing folks. Actually, stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Final segment of hour two here. Let me just say before we move on, it reminds me of the trolley car dilemma. It's a specious argument to say we should, you know, value one life above another. That's definitely not an argument that you will hear advanced on this broadcast. So my point is, it seems like a logical fallacy, doesn't it? That if we're going to champion a woman's right for anything, that we should also champion the unborn child's right to life, to the same blessings of liberty that we all presume ourselves entitled to. Anyway, hopefully that makes sense. We lost Stephen. Stephen, sorry we lost you. Back to the phones. John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, boy, Chris. Let's see. What are we known for? Let's see. We're good at making war. We're good at killing people. We're good at... And I sound like I'm anti-American. I'm not. We're good at overthrowing nations and installing puppet dictators. We're good at saying one thing and doing something else. We're known as a Christian nation founded upon biblical principles, where from the very beginning it's been a lie. So what are we known for? Maybe the nation whose God is war. Could that be possible? We're known for killing our own. Let's see, brother against brother in the Civil War, that was fomented by Jews and Masons, was actually more of a religious war when it boils down to it, because of the love of money from the North and not wanting to work. And then, you know, there's just so much to it. So what are we known for, Chris? We're real good at killing. You know, if you believe the Holocaust happened, and I wasn't born, so I can't say, we're good at killing. Let's see, over 50 million humans killed since 1971, yanked out of what should be the safest place on earth, the mother's womb. So I guess we got the Holocaust probably 10 times over by now, if you believe that it happened. And I can't say that it didn't. We're still doing it. We're good at deceiving people to the point that those that you desire to kill hold the woman in high esteem who was the impetus of creating Planned Parenthood. We've got the people that she wanted dead believing that she was a great woman. So we're really good at lying. We're really good at deceiving. You know, most people don't know what we're known for, Chris. Do I sound a little bit angry? Probably. I'm trying to hold it back. You know, wow. How can we answer that? Let me count the ways, Chris.
Exactly.
Think about it, people. What are we known for? We're known for installing people and then selling them weapons. Like when I was a young man in the military, 1975 and 76, training Iranian pilots to fly our planes, selling weapons to Iraq, and in the 1980s, they have a war that they couldn't have if we didn't help them. We didn't train them. If we didn't give them what they needed to kill one another, they couldn't have had the war.
Yeah.
We're really good. And then we get them to the point where, why do they hate us?
Well, yeah, exactly. So,
educating our own.
Hold that thought if you can. We're headed into break. Folks, stick around. We'll be right back.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening